So when did you decide to get involved in this production? How did this all come about for you?
I traveled to Vienna a few years ago to this big celebration of Amadeus Mozart. It was basically all these theater directors directing for the first time opera of Mozart. So I traveled there with my mother, and I decided to see the city from the point of view of Amadeus, you know, just whatever is left there. And there's a lot left. And there is a museum at his one of his apartments where there was a tiny picture, for whatever reason, like really small, of the family portrait that was used. Leopold wanted to use it in promotion, and later find out. So it's the two children, Amadeus and his sister, seated at a harpsichord, playing it, and their hands are intertwined. And she had this huge, huge hairdo on, which drew my attention to this tiny picture. And underneath it said the Mozart family. And I didn't know if he had a sister. I didn't know. But there was another musician, says Leopold and Amadeus, in the family, that there was, so there were two child prodigies at first as children. So I began to research it on that trip, and I went to Salzburg also, so their birthplace, and there was a little info about her there. When I got back, I just read everything I could to find out about her, including all these Mozart letters. So that's how it started, and it took a few years for me to write it, to write the piece and gather my team. And we've been touring it for the whole summer, and now we are going to be in New York.
What do you think you've learned about yourself as a writer and a performer during this whole process?
Well, it's my first piece that I've written, so I've learned a tremendous amount as a writer. I became a writer, right? A playwright with this production. It's my first solo show. It's the first time that I am producing. I am the producer of it as well, meaning I had to gather the team, you know, I have been organizing all the performances. I am in charge of the project. So it's been a tremendous learning experience.
How much time and energy does that take out? I mean, you're kind of like a one-man band in more ways than one.
Yeah, a bit. But, you know, the big thing is picking the right team as well, because I am on stage alone, but, you know, of course, my costume was designed. The music is actually playing live with me. One of the composers, we have two composers, he's there live pretty much, well, so far, every performance, cueing in the pre-recorded cues that he and the other composer composed. So it is a live interaction between us, because it depends on the performance when those cues will be there, and it's definitely affecting me every time. The music is the partner, one of the partners. The other partner is the audience, which every night is different. And in my show, the audience is the partner. I'm not pretending there's a fourth wall. Yeah.
How do you want this production to be remembered a couple of years from now?
Well, I hope that a couple of years from now it will still be going, that we'll be performing it in all different places in the world, and maybe some other people will be doing it as well instead of me, natural performance. But I feel like it's a very important piece for women especially, but for everyone to know the history of the women possible women geniuses, you know, from the past. What happened? Why don't we have them? Why don't we know about them? And what were the circumstances? And they are fascinating stories of this one in particular, of the family, of the Mozart family, and of the sister who could have possibly been the other Mozart. Very well known. Yeah.
In all of your research and travels on the subject, what little nugget of information or tidbit that you found out surprised you the most? What were you most shocked to find out?
Well, there was part of in the story, in the actual life story of Nannerl Mozart, she had to get married at a certain age. And, you know, after all these travels and tours and performing at courts of the monarchs through all of Europe, being praised higher at the beginning than Amadeus, you know, she played better, the harpsichord. For her to end up in this small town in St. Gilgen in Austria, and I traveled there, we just actually performed the show there two weeks ago or so, in her house, in the attic of the house. And what I found out is that when she moved there, she became a wife and a mother right away to five stepchildren. And how hard it was for her to be there. But the most touching thing I found is that she would lock herself in this small, tiny room in this house, and she would play the harpsichord 3 hours every day. And I've seen the room, and it's really small. And it's shocking that, you know, after all this career that really she had, the recognition that she had, and an obvious talent, that nobody cared to listen to her. That she had practiced in the small room alone, and just played music for 3 hours every day, just for herself, because there was nobody who appreciated it. It's very sad.
What's like the one thing you want audiences to really take away from this performance? Like, once it's over and they're walking out, how do you want them to really feel?
Well, it seems to me like this show, I've had those experiences performing the show. I've had it myself as a performer, but also I've heard from other people in the audience after the show that there is some sort of, it's a bit of a ritual that happens of cleansing, you know. There's something that happens with the audience. It's a very emotional show. It's a very funny show as well. But it's a whole journey, the whole lifetime of this woman. The truth, as much as I could get at it. And people are moved so deeply, but in a way, really elated. It's not that they are left with this heaviness and sadness. There's certain healing that happens. And we went through this experience together, and there's an elation, like a little even giddiness afterwards. There's something that we definitely go through, that I do with the audience. And I think that is the needed thing of healing those wounds, you know, that we carry. And it's not just women, it's also men.